This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You made them a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, as we think about this final sermon in the series based on meditation, we just pray for your word to come to us today through this scripture. And may I speak in your name as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. Amen. There I was on the rugby pitch. A whole bunch of players had come to rest on my left foot as a ruck went wrong. And I heard a couple of telltale clicks, but nothing seemed too bad. So I finished the rest of the game, drove home, only to find that the next morning that my left foot was about the size of a breeze block. In which case Emma Jane, who at that time was a rugby widow, took me to the local A&E, and sure enough, after an x-ray, two of the metatarsals in my left foot were broken. So I left there with a plaster from below my knee to the tip of my toes. Now, my job at the time relied on driving. I managed a sales team, and my boss was very good. He brought some work to my home. I could use a laptop. So all went well, and as soon as I could get back on the rugby field, I did. So no more than 12 months later, I was in a pre-season training session and someone fell on my right femur, broke the biggest bone in the human body clean in two. And that certainly was the end of my rugby playing days. Now, why do I mention this? Well, again, my long-suffering boss at the time, who was a big rugby fan and an ex-player himself, came to visit me at home. The company stuck by me, which was great, but he did say this to me. He said, Patrick, I was very, very surprised that you just dived in to playing the game. I know it's a game that you love, it's a game that I love as well, but you didn't seem to meditate on it, you didn't think about it, you just dived straight in. The consequences of all of that was, from a family point of view, we were supposed to be going on holiday to southwest France and we had to cancel it because the rehabilitation took a long time on that occasion. So even though the company I worked for stood by me again, which was great, there was a problem really, because I dived into something that I wanted to do and didn't really give too much thought for others around me. So today we're talking about meditation. You see, we have a man-made problem. we have a man-made problem of things that distract us from God. And it can be all manner of things. In that case, rugby. Nothing wrong with the game, of course, I still love it, but it occluded my vision. But what other things distract us from God? Doing things in our own strength, perhaps. We dive into things to get results, and we lack the time meditating to God often. So what are you diving into today? Diving into the world, perhaps, and so to distraction through being exposed, more than overexposed, to social media, perhaps. Being distracted by worldly agendas, following the crowd, perhaps. Or maybe something to think about is our consideration of what we're going to do next in terms of church. What shape is church going to look like? Are we considering diving in to exactly what we've always done? Are we going to distract ourselves with the vision of doing things exactly how we've always done them as a church? And that's a question not just for us, but that's a question for the national church as well. We can be distracted by past glories. So in short, our man-made problem are the deposits and distractions of this world. The distractions of this world prevent us from meditation. They often get in the way. And as I've just explained, they come in all types of shapes and sizes. So what's the godly solution to this man-made problem? Well, the big idea is to meditate is to give space for God. To meditate is to give space for God. And so to avoid the need of diving back into things that can potentially do us harm and certainly distract our vision. As Max Licardo says in his book, Anxious for Nothing, he says, we get to choose what we think about. We get to choose what we think about. Now that's good and bad news, isn't it? In many ways, we can choose to think about godly things. We can choose to think and pray, or we can choose to think about ungodly things. But how about considering the passage from Philippians that we've been reflecting upon for a number of weeks? How about choosing to think about, as directed by the Apostle Paul, of whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy? Let's think about and meditate on these things. In short, meditating on God's ways and trying to discern his plans instead of thinking and diving in to our own ways. Meditation is, of course, important in order to look after our hearts. And by heart, I mean spiritual heart, the place where God meets us, and not to be distracted by our own thoughts and agendas, as hard as that may be. Henri Nouwen puts it like this. I can sit down and see how quickly the little empty place of peace in my heart is filled again with rocks and garbage falling down from all sides. And he's talking about distraction when he's trying to pray, when he's trying to meditate. I can sit down and see how quickly the little empty place of peace in my heart is filled again with rocks and garbage falling down from all sides. What rocks and garbage are we allowing to occlude our meditations with and in and through Jesus Christ, God's Son? In today's reading from the Gospel according to Luke, we see a situation brought about perhaps by a lack of meditation, leading to diving into the distractions of religious busyness in favour of less essential tasks. This creates a diversion of the heart where we meet God through Jesus. In verse 38, we see a clear example of a good heart, and it's Martha who shows that initial good heart. Martha opens her home up to Jesus and the disciples. So important, isn't it, this idea of hospitality? It's something during one of the talks in this week's New Wine Leadership Conference, Patrick Dixon actually mentioned the need for hospitality, particularly as we go into a different season. Hospitality, it doesn't need to be extravagant. It can be a simple cup of coffee, but inviting others. And as lockdown restrictions change, maybe it's something we all need to think about, how hospitable we are to others, and to indeed each other as well. So a good heart, the good heart of Martha that welcomes the disciples and Jesus into her home. In verse 39, another good example of a good heart, of course, Mary sits at the Lord's feet. Our place as well is at the feet of Jesus. Our place is also to listen intently to what he has to say and meditate on his words. How do we do that? Well, through scripture, through prayer, through worship, and through meditation. In verse 40, we see perhaps a distracted heart. Martha's faith is sidelined momentarily by her sense of duty and busyness concerning, on this occasion, household chores. She's in danger of missing what Jesus has to say. She's in danger of missing out on the most important thing of all, fellowship with the Lord. So does our sense of duty or busyness or church tradition ever lead us to missing the fellowship of the Lord? I think, unfortunately, sometimes it does. Now, don't hear me wrong here. Serving's very important. It's the way we often can worship, and it's the way we can serve others. But if we let it get in the way of our worship and meditation, then perhaps there's a problem. Moving on, in verses 41 to 42, we see a radical approach being shown through the ministry of Jesus. Jesus flaunts the conventions of the time. He engages with both women, and that's important. He does engage with them both. So often Martha's given a hard time during this passage. But teaching from rabbis of the time, the traditional approach would be pretty much, or most often, that engagement with the kind of rabbi that you want to follow would be exclusive to men. And they would say who they choose to sit at the feet of and listen. But Jesus affirms Mary's right to discipleship and also teaches Martha in a loving way. He mentions her name twice. Martha, Martha. It's a loving engagement with her. Now, the only way forward is to be alongside him and meditate on his words. Mary has chosen the better way, he says. But Jesus' engagement with women is really important. And for us men listening in on this, it's really important that we understand and have a think and perhaps meditate ourselves on our engagement with women. The news in recent times has been all about this, of course. But I truly really believe that it's important to meditate on, if you're a man, on how you engage with women, how you look at women. This is a good example here in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke explains and shows the compassion and the drive by Jesus to engage with women during a time where it would have been not the traditional norm to do that. So something for us men to meditate upon. And just to reiterate that, of course, there's nothing wrong with serving, as I've already said. Serving is often the way we can worship. It's the way we can show the love of Jesus to others. But it should never cause anxiety or distract us from our time of meditation with God. We should avoid the temptation of diving into distractions and focusing, and we should focus on meditating at the Lord's feet. The big idea, our time of meditation should be less about doing and more about abiding in Jesus. Less about doing and more about abiding in Jesus. When Log sent the readings through for this week, I rang him up and said, Psalm 8. I couldn't at that time quite get my head around why Psalm 8 was being chosen for this week. And within a few seconds of the conversation, it was via Zoom, I said to Rob, why have we chosen? I kind of get the Luke reading, but, you know, why Psalm 8? And Rob picked up the Bible without saying anything else to me, looked at Psalm 8 and just went like this. And that's why we've chosen Psalm 8. Through Rob raising his arms and puffing his cheeks out, I was just like, wow. Psalm 8 tells us about the awesome nature of God. It's a realization of the majesty of God, the glory of God, the wonder of the Creator God. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. He is the Lord Almighty that sets the stars in place. So when we read this, when we digest this, we realize these truths, the truths of an awesome God, a Creator God. And then meditation becomes essential. It helps us to search for the truth, for what is noble, for what is right, for what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. Think about such things. And why not start doing that by reading Psalm 8 and meditating on it today? Read it slowly and meditate on our awesome God. So, we've come to the end of our sermon series based on the book Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado. We've looked at the need to rejoice in the Lord always, the need to show our gentleness or forbearance to all, the need to present our requests through our prayers to God, the need to seek the peace of God, and finally today we've explored the need to meditate on the awesomeness of God through sitting at the feet of Jesus. To meditate on the goodness of God rather than diving in to situations without thinking twice, diving in our own strength. To meditate at the foot of Jesus as an alternative to being religiously busy. That has ramifications perhaps of how we're going to engage in a post-lockdown era. To meditate on our future with Jesus and not on the way we've always done it. And finally, to meditate on and choose the one thing that is needed. To sit at the feet of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the better way, the way that avoids being worried and upset about many things. I'll say that again. The way that avoids being worried and upset about many things. And the one thing that won't be taken away from us. Let us, like Mary, also choose what is better. Amen.